who can now be official. Welcome. I'd like to thank the commissioners for being here. I would like to thank my fellow board members for being here. I'd like to really thank all of you guys for coming out, hearing the proposal, and possibly giving your opinions. My name is Rand Pigman. I'm on the board, and I'm chairman of Buildings and Grounds. What we're going to be talking to you tonight about predominantly is a proposed use for our north lot, the 20 acres north of the fairgrounds proper that's in the county, whereas the rest of our fairgrounds is in city limits. I'm going to show you what has developed over about a 4.5 year window. And many of you have been in this room 3 and 4 years ago when we were developing a grand plan for what we would like to do with that area. And we did receive a lot of good input, but one use came to the top of the bunch for being the most supportive and the best opportunity to actually generate revenue for the fairgrounds. And that is the use of it as a motorsports area. So, without further ado, sorry about the thing, noise is ignorant. This is my smallest board. The rest of them get bigger, but they're all still very small. People in the back, I realize that. Afterwards, they'll all be laid out for the chance to take a look at. Well, I'm supposed to keep them where they can see it. You guys have probably seen these in the past, huh? Maybe a little better. This is just a quick synopsis of the whole ground. This green border is fairgrounds proper that you're used to. The lawns, the buildings, the fair, everything. This yellow border is the equestrian area where the rodeo grounds are. This pink border area is what we would call the motorsports area. They're governed by the board, but then they're micro-governed by committees. This area is governed predominantly by the Buildings and Grounds Committee. This area is governed by the Rodeo Committee. This area would be governed by a motorsports committee that would form if this goes forward. And then those committees, of course, make recommendations, bring requests to the board, and that's kind of how it works. A really big part of this is parking. We really need the parking here at the fair, especially for the fair. And so whatever use went there, it had to provide 50% more parking than we presently have out there for the future use of the fair. So the parking would also be very beneficial, of course, to the motorsports area itself. But the board really wants to see the parking improvement take place out there. So it's a twofold cost. Then as we begin to take a look at this area alone, since that's the subject of tonight's meeting, pull that up. A little bigger, hopefully a little easier to see. A large part of the proposal is a quarter mile clay-based dirt track for stock car racing. This is a multiple-use facility, but probably a lot of the back and forth will be the fact that it will be for stock car racing and 12 events a year. It will be put in so that they can be sanctioned events. When I finish this whole thing, I'm naturally going to miss little things in and out, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions of the board members or of the commissioners. In with this proposal would be a two-phase staging. First phase would be doing all of the dirt work, leveling the ground up, removing the last of what's in the impound lot, which is mostly junk vehicles at this point, finishing the construction of this berm. If you've ever been by there, notice there's developing a very large amount of dirt out there. Most of it came off of when we stripped the parking lot. We've also hauled in a lot of other soils. We want to build a 6 to 8 foot high berm all the way down the east side of this area. and then we want to plant trees on that. And that will keep the activity behind that wall from the sound of that activity carrying on to what would become probably future development out of this field. I'm going to pull up a picture in a minute to show you the area and how it relates to Stonegate, Arbors, and other communities. This area here, like I say, presently, we're using this end for parking. And it's only really set up for structured parking about this far, and then as people overflow, they get into non-structured parking, and we're getting a lot of parking issues during the fair. So that's our goal, to develop parking further. This would also include camping areas around the perimeter, like we presently use for trailer campers, stuff like that. Second phase of this development, first phase, of course, is all the ground work, which would include laying phase for the traffic. There would probably be a season or two where races would occur with port-a-johns and the temporary bleachers that we've used at our last several functions, where it's been several functions in the area already. It is our temporary motorsports area. We have held demolition derbies, car crawls, mud bogs, events like that. In the last 2 years of holding those events, we have honestly never received a single negative call into the fair office for those events taking place. They're relatively noisy events. Truth is, stock car racing, slightly noisier, but, you know, in the same vein, we've been using it for this purpose, but not to the extent that we will with the traffic putting. But the center area, especially once the bleachers are developed, is a prime area for other activities, whether it's motocross, bicycle motocross, demolition derby, or whatever we decide to set up in the center of this to make use of the stand, the announcer stand, the concession stand, the bathrooms, all of that. So this is that area. This will be available to look at afterwards. What I'd like to address now is what it looks like from the air. What I'm going to try to do with this is talk a little about sound, because out of the 23 issues that are out there, sound is one of the biggest. This oval in the middle is the track itself. At that point, we can have 95 decibels of sound. What we're committed to do is doing a number of mitigation issues to help with the sound. One of those is requiring the sanctioned mufflers that keep it at 95 decibels at 100 feet from the car. So that's what we'll start with. Then I've taken, through studying on the internet, that I have studied how much sound it weighs as it travels through air. And with nothing to block it, nothing to absorb it, it does degrade over distance. So if we were to say there was nothing to block the sound, how far would it travel? How loud? From here, you go out 500 feet, you go down to 81 decibels, which is about the sound of a lawnmower on your front lawn if you're on your front lawn. You go out to the point where it just starts to come into Stonegate. This is Stonegate here, behind the area where the equestrian center is. When it first touches Stonegate, it's at about 75 decibels, which is the sound of the dishwasher if you're standing in the kitchen. So I'm not saying you won't hear it, but you can hear your dishwasher when you're standing in the kitchen. You go further, you move into the center of Stonegate, we're at 71 decibels. That's the sound of a hair dryer. And as you continue on, getting to the far end of Stonegate, you get out into the middle of where Heritage is. At that point, 2,000 feet out, we're at 69 decibels, which is the sound of laughter, if you're standing around some of the laughter. So from there, it continues to degrade as it goes out, until it gets all the way to the Arbors area. The area above this, and this area over here, really isn't a much of a concern, because the area of the highway noise is greater than the area the sound this is producing as it goes across. I'm not saying there would never be a time you couldn't listen and say, oh, there's something going on over there. But on the average, because it's between you and here, because the highway is coming in there at upper 70s in decibels, it's a wash. So this community isn't really going to be impacted, where these communities that have the greatest concern for noise. They also, unfortunately, have the dog kennel there, which happens to make about as much noise as they're going to hear from our direction, but it might be a friendly noise for your ears. This is pretty much just a noise chart, but it also shows where we are in relation to where your area of concern may be. That pretty well lays out what it looks like, what its intentions are. There's lots of information beyond that, and it's probably going to come out to a question and answer period, and we will have an opportunity for public comment. What we want is we want you to limit yourself to 2 minutes. We want you to say your name and where you live in the valley, and then say your piece. And you could be for, you could be against, whatever you feel. And if you wanted to say why, that's fine too. Or you can just state your name and opinion and good enough with us. If you have specific questions, you can select who you'd like to answer the question on our fair board or from the commissioners, and we'll pass the mic to them, and they'll do their best to answer the question. Good, go forward?
Yeah.
Okay. If anybody would like to start the whole circle of public input, this would be a good time. Mic's over here. It's on everybody's mind. I should point out, we are not asking for any tax money. We could say the Motorsports Committee desires this area and the board that supports it. We're not asking for tax money to develop this. This will be developed on private funds, donations, and volunteerism to put in a track and then to develop further from there, and proceeds from the track when it's in phase one will go towards development of phase two.
What I have here is a letter from a gentleman that couldn't be here tonight, lives in Stonegate. I'd like to read his comments. I think this will be on. Is this on now? Hello? Hello?
There you go.
There we go. Is that working? Can you hear me now?
Turn around and face them if you want.
All right. This is from a gentleman named Ryan White. He lives at 136 Meadow Drive, which is in Stonegate. It's addressed to dear board members. It says, I am a resident of Stonegate Housing Subdivision, and I have recently been made aware of the proposal for to modify the fairgrounds to include an automobile racetrack at the fairgrounds property. I am unable to attend the meeting this evening, but wanted to voice my support for the racetrack. As a resident of the nearby subdivision, I would like, in addition of the track to the property, I feel that the track would be an asset to the community in attracting additional entertainment options, visitors, and revenue to the area. In addition, as a race fan, I welcome the convenient opportunity to attend the races here in the Bitterroot Valley.
My name is Brad Peterson. I've raced here. My name is Brad Peterson. I've raced around the valley for many years. I've raced in Washington, Idaho, and Montana, and the revenue that is brought in is unreal. I mean, I always stop at Levi Market. I haven't been there lately, but, you know, and spend money over in Washington. And the families of the racers, their pit crews, everything is going to need a place to stay. Or and eat, you know, BJ's, they'll be swamped. But I think it'd be a great thing for the revenue here and all the other people that are going to be coming with them, friends of the racers. You know, when they're off, let's go shopping, you know. and smaller towns. They don't have what we've got. You know, so I think it'd be a great thing, and I'm from Corvallis, so I think it'd be a great deal for the Bitterroot and the community. So.
Hi, I'm Jason Chislinski. I was part of the Bitterroot Motorsports here on this last Mud Bog event. It was actually a bigger turnout than we expected. The only thing I can say is, you know, we need a bigger facility. We had a lot of people show up. We even had people out of Canada come down. Like Brad said, a lot of money came through this valley on this last event. And I didn't hear one negative thing from the public. We had no incidents, no fights, no nothing. It was a good time, great family fun. We had a lot of people show up. So I hope this all goes through. And about it.
My name is Neona Conkle, and I live in the Arbors. So I am here for concern for noise. We do get a lot of noise from the fairgrounds, which is much louder than a hair dryer or a dishwasher. There's an echo effect. There's an amplification as it travels over. So your diagram there isn't really accurate. So we have a great concern on enjoying our property and also on our real estate values. Thanks.
It's true, it is hard to quantify exactly what the sound would be, but the majority of sound that travels from the fairgrounds comes from a rodeo area, which we also knew when we used to do motorsports in the rodeo area. The way it's configured, it did echo into Stonegate considerably. And we do get a lot of noise during the fair generated in that area. Not that this isn't a lot of noise too, but it's a considerable distance further that way, and it will have, you know, attenuation involved in it.
My name's Nick Nichols, and I've lived in Hamilton since 88, but I used to live in Missoula. I raced there when Miller Creek was open, and I've been involved in different types of motorsports for years. I'm all for this. I'm a local business owner, and I think it'll be great for our economy. I think it'll be something that'll get kids going into a different direction than what they are now. In fact, I'm in the automotive business, and if some kid decides he wants to get involved and needs some help, I'd be even willing to help him get something going. So, I'm all for it. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Patricia Kelly, and I live in Stonegate at 101 Rosewood Court, which is right on the corner. Can you hear me now? Because I don't like to be up like this. Maybe that's why I stood back. I have no problem with the racetrack going in. I think it would be good for the kids, great for the economy, and I don't mind the noise. I hear the screams from the fair. I hear everything. You just learn to tune it out. That's all I have to say.
Hi. Some of you may know me. I'm Chase Basnaw. I run the narcotic unit for the sheriff's office. I get to deal with a lot of kids that have nothing to do. And I work with a few of them that are trying to get into motorcycles. I've been known to turn a wrench a time or two. And if we could find some places for these guys to go, you know, they're not going to be out tearing up campgrounds. They're not going to be up upsetting the Forest Service, tearing up state lands, things like that. If they have a place to go and, you know, get together with other like-minded individuals and learn to work on bikes, develop some good habits, I think we're doing this community a huge service and probably, hopefully, cutting me out of some work. So, thanks.
Desiree Dunham. I started racing when I was 16. I only did a few races that year. And then I kept going in at 17, racing Idaho stock cars. And all I can say is, I mean, it was nice learning at a young age how to be able to work on your car, and it was fun, and I really feel like it kept me out of a lot of the stupid stuff that goes around with young kids, and it made me put my money into something instead of wasting it.
My name is Dane Dunham. That was my daughter. I thought putting her into something like that was going to be a good thing. I wish that we could get something like this here. I know what kind of money I took out of this valley when I took my daughter's racing. I'm for this. We need to get this closer. I mean, there's a lot of money that there's a lot of racers that I know, a lot of people out here I know that do this, and we take a lot of money out of this valley to do this. I mean, a lot. A lot. I got a pocket full of money when I leave this place to go racing. And if we could keep that money here in this valley and support our local people, it's well worth it. My kids really have enjoyed racing. Like she just said, it's taught her how to work on cars, taught her how to race, taught her how to do things that ain't the mainstream for kids. And this valley, we don't have the mainstream. We don't got things that kids do that's fun. I mean, it's kind of a boring town for teenagers. That's why I had to travel out of the town to let my kids enjoy that. So I'm for it.
Yeah, Bill Sparling. I live about 3 miles north of Corvallis. I've raced my whole life. I've lived here 10 years, retired and came up here. I built race engines for a living. We've done everything from Busch to Trans Am to IndyCar Motors. I think this is a great thing for the valley. I'd be willing to get out there and help. I wish you were building a half-mile asphalt, but I'll take dirt. We currently race a little sprint boat. Just to give an example, one of our venues is St. John's, an hour south of Spokane, a town of 400 people. On race weekend, they get 8,000 people show up. They have probably 400 motorhomes at $35 a night each, plus approximately anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 people attending the event. They only have two events a year, but they clear over $125,000 for their community. They hold the events in conjunction with their stock fair. So they get the people anyway, and it just feeds on one another. And I just say I'm all for it, and you know, I really hope it'll go through and turn into something that the community can be proud of, and the kids can get interested in. And you know, I'll be more than happy to help any way I can, because I mean, I'm driving 20,000 miles a year to race my boat now. I'd just as soon drive 3 miles and come watch. So that's my opinion. Thank you very much.
You know, I gotta say that something like this would be a great thing for the Hamilton area.
What's your name? Where do you live?
My name is Ron Deinhardt. I live up on Ricketts Road. This would be a great thing for the Hamilton area. This would bring people in from all over the country, all over the state. Billings, Bozeman, Phillipsburg, Missoula. You know, this would be, just like the gentleman that was just up here said, this would bring in a lot of money to this community that has been missing out on it for quite some time. It's all gone down to Salmon or someplace else, you know. Let's keep it here in the valley. This is where we want it to be. This is where we live.
John Palacio, I live in Stonegate, and who wouldn't want more money for the valley, right? So my question for Rand is there actual, do you have actual numbers for the noise reduction that you guys are going to do for this? I mean, that thing looks like it wasn't even drawn with a compass. Okay. You can do better than that, Rand.
It was drawn about an hour ago freehand, and that's why they look like sound waves.
Detailed.
No. The actual quantifiable thing we have is that we will require the 95 decibel muffler, and that will be required on all the cars, and that is a testable thing. We're at infancy with this, and as we go through, there may be contingencies put on, to where, you know, presently, if you create more than a certain level of sound with an event, you need to have a permit to do so, and that's something they actually take it down and they meter the decibels at a certain distance when it leaves your property, things like that. I know that we would, if they were strict about that, we would need one for the fair itself, but outside of the fair, you know, I can't quantify the level of sound. We are going to, the burn we're putting in and the other things we intend to do to try to keep the sound at an agreeable level. And the buildings that do exist on the fairgrounds that will also help to tackle some of that sound. But at this point, we're not far along that I can actually quantify where that sound, how far it'll go. But I can guarantee that if you live in Stonegate and you go outside and you listen for it, you will hear racing on racing. But if you go back in your house, then you should not.
Okay. Just follow up question. This is what worries me about not having measurements done for this, because like what you just said maybe 30 seconds ago, if they were strict about these noise levels, is the commission going to write anything that monitors that or ask for forgiveness later? What?
I can't answer.
I guess that's a question for commissioners.
I think that's why we're here tonight, is to let, and this isn't being pushed or moved forward by the committee. I mean, we're here. See, we've seen these projections and some of this stuff before, but I mean, this is the first time we're hearing it as well.
Okay.
As far as I haven't seen a set of proposed rules or regulations or guidance on this track yet. So we're learning with everybody else here tonight, which is part of the reason that I think we've decided not to make a decision on this proposal tonight as well.
Okay. Thanks.
Just to follow up on your question a little bit, the acceptable federal level is 98 decibels at 100 feet. The mufflers that we have in mind to put on the cars were developed for a racetrack that's in town and very close to a town, just like what we have here. Those mufflers are set to reduce the decibel rating of those cars at 100 feet to 95 decibels.
I have a question for you. Third.
So is your proposal then, we'll just follow up on that then, will you regulate every car that races out on that track, and if somebody doesn't have this muffler, are you going to say, no, you can't race? Will it be a requirement to have that muffler to race out?
That's correct. Yeah, that is correct. It will be a mandatory muffler. It will be a 95, well, we'll call it 98 decibels, just kind of give you a little barrier there, but everybody will be required to run the same muffler.
No exemptions.
No exemptions. That's what it's got to be. We understand where this track is going. We really do. We're not trying to ruin anybody's property values or make anything crazy for anybody. We understand where it's going. Yes, Brad.
Isn't a backup alarm
105
decibels?
Well, sure. A backup alarm would probably be 105 decibels because they want people to, you know, notice it or whatever. But a federal standard is 98 decibels is an acceptable level at 100 feet.
Well, we've got them right at the road department. It's going to be quieter than that.
You only ran over.
Yeah.
My name's Perry Chappell. I live in Derby. I've got some info that might help some of you. I was also general manager of Wenatchee Valley Super Oval in Eastern Washington for 5 years and general manager of Evergreen Speedway in Monroe, Washington, which is on the fairgrounds. Monroe had, at the time, an 87 decibel reading, and that was at 50 feet. That track is still there. They run horses. They do all kinds of stuff. The noise we had, you know, I don't talk really good in front of people, so I'll be quiet. I also raced NASCAR for quite a few years, and what Jeff's saying is they'll have a decibel meter, and I had a car that was too loud, and I got black flagged during practice. I was not allowed to race. It was done, over, and I was. Because you're going to have folks that, as Jeff knows, is going to try to stretch that. But it's really easy to solve the problem. We should do it to one person once. There is no more noise. I mean, they just go park it, and it's all done. But anyway.
Chris Bonner, I live in Hamilton. I work at Massa. A lot of you know me. I got a 9-year-old daughter, and somebody voiced concerns about the activities that are available in this town. I also work on cars a lot. I've raced my whole life down in Phoenix. I used to be awesome to get involved in and have something to be involved with my kid and growing up and teaching her different things that I've learned over the years. I'm sure there's other different inter-track programs that we can get into for go-karts, things like that, whatever, to get the kids involved in. You know, and I watch NASCAR, and I watch all these races all over the national television and everything else, and you talk about all these, you hear about all these racers, famous racers and everything else, and every national NASCAR, the big drag racers, whoever they are, they all came from a small hometown track. And I think it'd be kind of cool to do this, and maybe someday in the future be able to look on television and go, hey, he's from my hometown. So, could be your kid someday.
Hi, I'm Kathleen Driscoll from Hamilton. And I just wanted to bring up a couple points. First, I know it was notified in the commissioner's thing about this meeting, and I congratulate all of you for being so organized. I see the hand clapping, the pro again, you know, for this, and you're very organized, and I appreciate that very, very much. But the other side of this picture is what's going to happen in the backflow of all this when you approve something and this neighboring community, which is Stonegate, finally clues in. Because in the city of Hamilton, when the Bitterroot College was going in across the street from me, I was within 300 feet, and they sent me a notice saying, show up if you have a complaint. But obviously, some of the Stonegate people and some of the people, I live down on North 9th Street across from Driscoll Park, and I hear the fairgrounds all the time. I also hear the dancing on Main Street. Yes, I've had my house extra insulated, and I can still hear them until whatever time they cut off. So I'm not saying what you're doing is wrong. I'm saying what you're thinking is this is going to go very calmly through the Ree Valley County Commissioners, but in actuality, you have a city sitting right next to you that has different requirements, and this is not going to make for good neighbors. So I just recognize that there's got to be a lot more reaching out for the community that's going to be affected the most. You guys are going to be actually affected the most because you're going to be driving those cars and all the different equipment that you're going to have out there. Congratulations. I think it's great. I'm just warning you, what's going to happen, the ripple effect, is not going to be good. So to be able to circumvent that, try to get more of the community involved and the commissioners and give them that right, just like you guys have organized, to come in and say their piece, and then it'll go much more evenly. Okay? Thank you.
That is a very valid. There will be people, no matter what change takes place, there will be people that are pleased by it and people that are not pleased by it. In the spirit of fairness, we did mail individual invitations to all of the residents in the Stonegate and the Arbors communities. That's Route 7 with the USPS, and so we we sent individual invitations to them for this meeting, so they would be blindsided by the greater possible.
My name is Cliff Burson. I live over in Stonegate. The thing I want to bring up with the commissioners is that the numbers that Rand's giving you on noise are misleading. He's telling you that, oh, it'll be 95 decibels and it's like a dishwasher, but that's not the case. Audio science says that when you add additional noise sources, while it doesn't multiply, like double it, each additional noise source, even at the same level, increases the total noise by 3 to 5 decibels. So if you have four or five cars racing, you've gone from 95 or 98 up to 100 to 110, right? So in my backyard, which Rand pointed to on the map, I'm going to be looking at 75 to 90 decibels. Normal conversation occurs at about 55 decibels. That means that anything louder than that, I have to raise my voice to be heard. So if I want to enjoy my backyard with 75 decibels, which is what Rand's telling you is going to be in my backyard, that means I have to shout. Everything I want to say to my wife or my neighbor is going to have to be a shout as loud as I can get it just for them to be able to hear me, much less understand me. Right? So you increase that to what is more likely to be 100 to 110 decibels, and now I'm looking at 85 to 90 in my backyard, and I'm not able to be heard. And there's a big difference between one mud bogging event every month or so to one race that's 2 or 3 days every weekend. That's why I haven't complained about the mud bogging races, because it's one day out of 1 or 2 months. It's not that big of a deal. I can live with that. But when you're talking, I can't use my backyard every weekend of the year or of the summer, that becomes a problem. And Rand, if you think that I can't hear the fair by going in my house and shutting the doors, you're more than welcome to come over during the fair and hear it, because I hear it loud and clear.
Thank you, Clint. And he's right. I am not a sound expert. I pulled all this stuff down off the internet and tried to give a feeling for it. And he's right. The more noise you put in one spot, it does carry. And we are looking at other majors for trying to absorb sound and trying to block sound. But sound is the issue.
Hi, my name is Brad Bergman. I live up Skalkaho. As far as the noise level, you have to build berms and stuff. You have to do a construction ride of the thing. You build berms and stuff. But another thing, it's no different than them jets coming in all the time, running around. It's no more different than that. Actually, they're noisier. You can hear them. I'm 2 miles out, so you won't even hardly hear that. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I'm Jeff Carter. I'm a Valley County Fair Commissioner. Kind of been one of my dreams to see this happen for the Bitterroot. I understand the concerns, like I've said all along. We understand where this is going. We want to be innovative with the capture and diversion and absorption of sound. We're trying to do a good thing here. We're not trying to ruin anybody's property values. We intend on running the races at a reasonable hour. The place will be dark and quiet by 11 o'clock on the race nights. We want the races to start by 5. There'll be one, maybe 2 day events every now and then. We're looking at one, maybe 2 races a month. Maybe. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to make one more point. I live over on Cooper Lane, and somebody had mentioned the music downtown, and when they have live bands on Saturday nights or Friday nights, whichever it is, I always hear them over at my house. But I know those are above the decibels that these stock cars are going to be running at. Because when you're downtown at those events, they're loud. Thank you.
My name is Brandy. I'm all for this. I live 3 miles up Skalkaho, and I understand you guys are concerned about the noise, but the reason I moved 3 miles up Skalkaho is to get away from the noise. If you were so worried about the fairgrounds noise, you shouldn't have moved there.
My name is Del Mackey. I'm from Darby. I got started in this racing after helping my son-in-law with his car over in Salmon. That was about 3 years ago. I ended up buying a car for him, bought a car for me, built a car for my two grandsons. One of my grandsons was getting into some bad drugs, bad company. And we told him if he would clean up, we'd build him a car and get him started. He cleaned himself up. We built him a little midget car, a little bomber car. We built it for him. He went over to Salmon. He raced against Desiree. He did pretty good. He actually got first about the third night. He didn't even drive a car. He was 16 years old. He doesn't even want to drive a car on the street. It's too dangerous. But he'll drive a car out on the track. To this day, he's still clean. 2 years later. My opinion is, if we start this track, we know there's going to be a noise problem. Every track I've gone to, I've pulled my car to Idle Falls. We've got people in this room that have pulled their car to Vegas. They've pulled their car to Belgrade, Great Falls, a lot of other tracks, Arco. They pull their cars a long ways just to race. One time over there in the Salmon, I counted 27 cars from Montana. I ended up buying a semi-truck and a three-car trailer to pull our cars to Salmon. We still didn't have enough room. There were 6 cars coming out of my shop racing over there. There's guys in this building right here that have built their own car, modified cars, which takes a lot of work. They're very, very regulated. This community could use something for these kids to go and do. Right now, they have nothing to do. If we build this track and it can save 2 kids from becoming hoodlums, drug addicts, and become a pillar of the community, it's worth it. We understand there's a noise level. There's a problem with noise. When we race, I haven't raced there, but when I go to Great Falls and watch races at Great Falls, that track is up on a knob, just on a hillside, up on the edge of Great Falls. That noise travels. They have a decibel ruling there the cars have to be under. They abide by that rule, or they do not race. There's a track in Boise. The town grew up around that track in Boise. It's an asphalt track. They have to abide by the rules of decibel ratings there. We understand this track's not going to be pleasing for everybody. We're going to try and do our best. There's going to be a few people that aren't going to like it. There's a few people that don't like the fair. You know, you can't please everybody. We're going to do our best to please the majority. If we stuck our neck out and said, yeah, we're going to please everybody, we'd be lying to you. We're not here to lie to anybody. I'm sure that the motorsports people know what they can do.
They know how to control the noise. I also have a Harley. I'll tell you, that Harley, when you get on it and you crack that throttle, and you people have heard them bikes going out of town, that noise decibel is over 95. But they get away with it. I get away with it.
Thank you very much for your time.
Hi everybody, my name is Mark Goins. I live in Victor. I don't really have neighbors close to me, but my dog barks and annoys my neighbor sometimes, and he comes over and barks at me. I hear them both barking. I was raised in a racing family. I think things like curfews, tracks that are farther out in the woods, you can get run all night. In cities, you have to be considerate of your neighbors. But we have to look at the big picture here. It brings families together. It brings teamwork together. And it shows a good example for our youth. And I think it's a great idea to have for this valley. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm not being a microphone hog here. I just can't remember everything I need to say at one time. Please understand for you people in Stonegate and the arbors and stuff like that, we're not talking about 5 hours of constant noise by the loudest cars you can imagine. These races run 15 to 20 minutes generally at a time for the loudest cars. Not every class is going to be screaming loud. Not any class is going to be screaming loud, because we're going to do our very best, and I promise that, to make this as user-friendly as possible, neighbor-friendly as possible.
That's it.
I just want to point out to you guys that none of the people that have spoken out against the track have said that they're against racing in general. We're against the location. There's plenty of wide open space in the valley where a track could go, but you're talking about putting it right in the middle of one of the highest concentrations of people in the whole valley. So that becomes an issue for people with noise. That's why the noise is an issue, because it's right next to where everyone lives. We're not against racing. I got racers in my family. I just don't want it in my backyard, right? You know, you want to go out where there's nobody living and there's plenty of acreage? Fine, I'm all supportive. I'll even come help dig the track. But putting it in the middle of a bunch of people, and even Rand admits that the area around it is likely to fill in with residential areas, that's just asking for trouble. All the tracks around the country that have closed because they're surrounded by residential areas. Right? I mean, simple fact of the matter. Look online, guys. It's not that hard. The issue is not the track. The issue is the location. So if you could find a better location for it, then that's great. I'm all for it. But putting it in the middle of residential areas, that's what the problem is, and that's where the problem lies, and that's why people are upset about it.
Thank you. Hey, please. Comments need to be reserved for the microphone one at a time. Thank you, Clint. We do all recognize that noise is the number one issue. We've gotten to this point because we went through three years of what should we do with the north line, because primarily it needs to be a lot of parking and some type of event that generates revenue. And this has been the one that has shown the biggest potential. It definitely has the potential to cause some dissent in the immediate neighbors. We would want to mitigate that.
Hi, my name is Dick Manny. I live in Corvallis. I lived in Seattle for quite a few years while I was working over there. And SIR built a track out in the boondocks. You had to take your lunch to go there. And people moved in and built houses all around the track. And then they bitch about the noise, you know. And, you know, what's the use? If you don't want noise, don't go where there's noise. I think that a racetrack would be beneficial to a lot of people, a lot of young children. Quarter midgets start out racing at 5 years old and can race till they're 16, I believe. And I've got several little boys in my neighborhood that are on dirt bikes and want to do motocross. Well, they got to go on somebody else's land to do that because there's no place for them to go. And it's not really fair to them. These kids in this town are in a lot of trouble because there's nothing for them to do. There is very little for them to do in this town except cruise around and get in trouble. So anything we can do to benefit the children and help the young people in this area, I'm all for it. Thank you.
I guess I'm the last one, so we can start karaoke here in about 15 minutes. Get your slips up front. My name's Travis. I'm from Stevensville, Travis Panko. I've been racing for 25 years. I run a modified. As far as economics go, pretty modest number would be $5,000 a year times 25 years. My wife's doing numbers in her head over there. I might need a ride home here shortly. So there's definitely some money being spent. You don't make a lot racing. We do it because we love it. My daughter raced. My father raced. My wife raced. And I'm still trying to race. We left a month ago to Belgrade with a $30,000 car and came home with a $10,000 car because that happens sometimes. We're going to continue. One thing about Belgrade, between Belgrade, Great Falls, State Line, Idaho this year, I put in just shy of 3,000 miles windshield time. Didn't make any money, didn't get any good finishes. The two things we noticed the most, the successful racetracks started at 7, were done by 11. You didn't start your car till 6, you didn't start it after 11, you pushed it on the trailer. The fans don't like a long program. All the cars have mufflers at most tracks. My car has mufflers all the time. And clean bathrooms are important. Other than that, that's all I have to say. I'm very, very for this. I think it needs to be run like a business and not like a big party. And the shows are usually 3 to 4 hours long, once or twice a month. That's the way the successful tracks run. We have too much different entertainment out there, especially with the internet, to compete with. It's not going to be 2 or 3 days a week all summer long. Can't afford it. So thanks for coming out.
My name is Josh Smith, local business owner in Hamilton here for 8 years. Started racing about 2.5-3 years ago. It's been a great time. It's great for the kids. It's great for all sorts of things. Like bring money into the town. So I'm all for it. I've been, you know, traveling back and forth to Stammen. It costs a lot. It'd be a lot easier if we could do it right here. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jeff Wise from Corvallis. I'm the president of the Bitterrotters Car Club here in Bitterroot Valley. We're in support of this. Motorsports are a good thing for everybody. It's a family sport. It's good for the community. Many of you have noticed, like I have, that there are dark businesses in our community, that property values have kind of plateaued. We need to do a little bit of something different than what we're doing. And folks, if you brought only 200 people to town, every one of these events, that would fill half of the motel rooms in our town. Those people have to eat, they have to buy stuff, they have to sleep somewhere. That raises everybody's boat. So we're in favor of it. I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
seems like we have no one walking up, so we begin to assume that we may have heard from everybody that wants to speak. As we begin to wrap up then, I'd like to remind you guys, if this isn't exact science on my part here, but the events that took place, it is a stock car racing that makes the most noise, that has the largest vehicle. But we are looking at a multi-use facility. If it goes in, we're looking at a number of activities that could take place inside of the track. Bicycle motocross is one of the ones that comes to mind, and a number of other type of activities that can take place in this, because it's a venue that has bleachers and facilities and all of that. At this point, I'm going to see if there's any comments from the commission. Would you like to throw a word in?
I guess I've got a question. I don't know who to address this to. Maybe Deb, she's the kind of manager here, would be able to help us out. What will you be getting, or what will the fair be getting out of this? Are you, in other words, the county's going to, the fair is going to provide the land for this endeavor, and how will you share in this? Will we share in the, maybe just look there and give us an idea?
Deborah Rogala, the fair manager. I live in Darby, but I work here every day at the fairgrounds. To answer your question, I would kind of go back to what Rand said, is that we're all kind of learning as we go here. This idea is being proposed for the fairgrounds in the hopes that it would generate additional revenue for the fairgrounds. Much like any event that happens here on the grounds, we would be charging user fees for those events.
Okay, but you don't have that for content, as to what the split will be.
No, we've not started working on that part of the plan.
I guess as a follow-up to that would be the I heard, we're talking about revenue made and possibly our development on it. Is the proposal to put this money back into some sort of organization that would run out there, or does that money plan to go back into the fairground? I guess would be the kind of what Ray was going, what my question would be is, where does this money go? These revenues, we're talking about entry fees and
I guess it would. We could run it a lot like the first interstate center that we're in right now, by venue, by percentage for the night, by what the entertainment is out there, whether it's a swap meet, car show, 4-H is using it for youth sports or youth badges or however they do that. I mean, it's a multi-use area. It allows the fairgrounds to run multiple events at the same time. It isn't going to be stock car racing all the time. We don't expect it to be stock car racing all the time, but it does make a nice area where we can hold multiple events on the fairgrounds that's supposed to be here to create revenue and entertainment for the Bitterroot Valley.
And another question, I've heard reference to motocross and different events out there, mud dog and whatnot. We understand that the stock cars racing around will have the 95, that's below 100 feet. What about the motocross and the mud dogs and the other events we're referencing? Will there be any sort of controls on noise levels from those?
Oh, absolutely. We'll definitely have to govern what goes on. It's a case-by-case deal. You can't say, some people like mufflers, some people don't like mufflers. To me, if everybody's got the same equipment, I'll race anybody, anytime, anywhere. I'll race you riding your riding lawnmower around your yard. Get a couple of them. I'll take you on. I don't even care. It's about it's about the competition. It isn't about who can be the loudest, who can be the quietest, anything like that. But definitely, any event, we're going to definitely have to take a look at how things are being held and handled.
Just Jeff, what you said, some things we've heard over the years is this is progressed and we've been discussed with the number of events we're talking about. I've heard as low as 8 events a year. It sounds like some people here may think there's going to be a lot more than that. What is the vision for these race weekends or race events?
My vision is to run this as in a sanctioned by a sanctioning body called the IMCA, which is a nationwide international group. There are track points, regional points, national points. You have to run a certain amount to be into those standings and to qualify for their contingencies and stuff like that. I believe it's 8 events. You have to complete 8 events. So, you know, with special races and stuff like that, we'd like to see 9, maybe 10 races, maybe 11, 12. I don't, you know, it just depends. But we have to complete 8 nights of racing to qualify for all of their requirements.
We as a track need to have a minimum of 8 nights of racing to qualify as this ICMA.
IMCA, yes, sir. Yes.
So we're talking
if we're going to use their sanctioning body, and that's it's like I said, basically somebody from Florida that has an IMCA car that is is qualified for that sanctioning or that class can bring that car all the way from Florida. We talk about how we travel to go to other tracks and stuff like that. You have to understand people will come from a long ways away to enjoy what we enjoy as far as the bitter end.
And Rand, you said something, and I'm a little confused. What I understood you say was you're asking for permission to exist.
To install, right. Not so much to exist as an affair, but to install a facility of this nature.
Okay, so not as an organization, but
as a facility.
And one other thing I guess I'd like to make sure that this is not the last time people get to speak. I think once this is a great meeting, it's great attendance. We'll have other meetings, I would assume, with the concurrence of the Board of Commissioners down the road, if it's just a little further, as we're developing a better understanding tonight. And I think the community is developing an understanding. I think we'll have more meetings, more opportunities for people to speak.
Can I add one more thing to the public?
Not a chance.
You guys started this, by the way.
It's karaoke now.
Okay. The gloves are off now. The commissioner started this one. There's been mention between you guys and the racetrack organization and fairground boards as to what's going to be done with funds and percentages and things like that. And I had a brilliant idea as to a percentage of the funds that come out of the races and fees and things like that to somehow create some programs that will be funded by percentages or a percentage of programs for the kids to get into to learn about cars and learn about racing, to get them involved through our community and have it supported by the track.
I'm just curious. I'm trying to keep track of the proponents and the opponents on this thing. And there's 20 of you out here that are proponents, and only 4 opponents. Actually, 3.5. John Benicio kind of thought he was an opponent. Yes, I didn't really understand that. Are there more people here from Stonegate and Arbors that haven't talked about this or haven't come up to you folks want to voice your opinion on this? Or are you all for it?
My name is Verona Stromberg, and I live in Stonegate. I've lived there for 15 years.
I'm not necessarily for or against it. I'm not opposed to racing or anything. I came here to gather more information, and I guess my biggest concern is number of events that are going on per year, per weekend or whatnot, and the noise level. And I kind of share the same sentiment as the gentleman that spoke earlier. I'm not sure it's the best location, but again, I came to gather information. And at this point, my biggest concern would be the noise level. Can I go in my backyard and enjoy barbecue on a weekend with my family, with company over, or are we going to be speaking over the noise level? So I do want to say I appreciate getting the postcard. Just got it on Tuesday, I believe. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, 2 days' notice, my husband wasn't able to come. He had a meeting. I think he might be here now. But so the short notice for me was kind of caught me off guard. But I appreciate listening to all of the comments and hearing. And I do have further questions as far as number of events and probably a more professional study done as far as the noise. I would like to see that. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Dale Broadside. I live in the Arbors. One of the reasons I live in Montana is I don't want all the people from New York City here. And I'm sure all the people who live away from this don't want all of us in Stonegate and the Arbors moving out to the countryside, because it will look like the Arbors and Stonegate if we all move out there. I want the people who do motor events to have their track. And I want the people in Stonegate to be able to talk to each other. I am grateful for having received the postcard notifying me of this event. I am here. I'm on the fence. I want everybody to be happy, and I know that's not possible, but I came to find out what it's about. One concern I have is I volunteer at the mansion, and I think races would probably impact some of the events there. There's that lake, there's a bald eagle's nest, and I get it that, I mean, just because legally you have to address these issues, I'm sure you are, and I guess for the most part I think it would be good for most of the people in the community. So anyway, thank you for at least giving me the chance to find out what's happening.
My name's Darren. I live in Victor. And I think one of the biggest concerns here... Oh, is this thing on? Okay. I think the biggest thing here is the noise. Jeff, is it possible, and Ram, to get the berms built and get 3 or 4 race cars out there as a test to show these people it's going to be all right?
It's a lot of money to put together for a test.
Yeah. But I mean, we want a racetrack.
Nope, the reality. Well, I mean, not saying we can't.
I'll go out there with a shovel if I have to.
Well, let's get it. Bring
okay.
The extra one. I got you.
I'm going.
The reality is the berm is part of the design regardless. We have the dirt there. We intend to build the berm for any function that takes place later. And it's really because of the proximity. This is big empty field. Probably one day look like this and like this. They will be the most directly impacted. Certainly, this corner here is the next most direct. So yes, we could look at, you know, getting the berm installed. I mean, we can't go a lot further, planting of the trees and stuff like that. That's part of what we're counting on a body of these. Quite personally, I'm counting on the body of energy here tonight that wants this to make it happen. The Fair Board is. We're trying not to use tax dollars, so if the energy that wants it doesn't make it happen, it won't happen. But I could still say that as a board, we've already made the commitment to install the berm. That's why there's all that dirt there. So we could go as far as to install the berm, a couple other things, and then we could see what we do from testing from there. But the berm will become installed next year, regardless of the use of the lot.
So if I'm digging a big hole in my backyard, I'm going to have a place to put the dirt can bring over.
If you haul it over and place it properly, yes.
Hello, I'm Gary Ingebrigtsen. I live over here on Wise's Way, out of Corvallis, Montana. I've been here for 7 years, and I'm from Hill County. I'll take the cap off this now. I've been through a lot of stock car tracks, Great Falls, Belgrade this year, Fargo. A lot of these are in the middle of town. Great Falls, noise level is unbelievable. First, when you're on the side of a hill pointing towards your town, it's going to be that way. But what I'm saying is Belgrade, for one, is a very quiet track. When you come up there and they're racing, you don't hear it. Of course, the track is built in a pit. Cutbank was built in a pit. Very quiet track. If you're in the area, it's damn loud because you're in part of that area. But when you're on the outside of it, this design of these tracks can be made quiet. But it costs bucks to make a hole in the ground. And like I say, Belgrade would probably be one of the greatest ones to look after. And unfortunately, Belgrade does have a 9 p.m. sound ordinance. So I don't know. But they're built next to an airport, too.
It's 11.
It's 9. I was just there this year.
Yeah,
they shut it down. I know that.
I'm Jason Chalinski. I talked earlier here. At our last mud bog, we had 63 trucks show up down to race. There was probably 10, 12 that were straight piped, open headers that were loud, mean trucks, 1,000 horsepower plus. I was just curious over there in Stonegate, I mean, were those trucks really that bad and loud? Because those were way over the decimals. I mean, they were. Okay. Oh, yeah, I understand that, but those are extreme louds, but they weren't that long. We had 63 trucks. We ran them all through in roughly about 4 hours-ish. I mean, we had a great time doing it. And then our vendors, we actually had the Hamilton Boxing Club come over and do that, and they got a kickback out of that to help the kids with their boxing and other programs. So, I mean, we benefit more than just us. It's other parts of the community also.
Was that sanctioned?
What?
The event?
Ours? Our mud bog? No. Ours was not sanctioned. But we did have a lot of people that do sanctioned mud bogs. Want us to be a stop. I mean, these guys out of Canada and Spokane, all these guys that we talked to, they loved it down here. They said this was a nice drive. It's not that far from everyone in the circuit right there in Canada. And they said if we can get something happening down here, they'll be more than happy to come down and chip in any way they can.
This property line here, which would do wonders for stopping sounds and traveling this way.
So we can look at further design improvement on what we're working on now. And it is true when you look across the board, all across the country, it's really common to see motorsports areas attack the county fairgrounds. It's a common place that they exist. I think we've all still got some questions, I know I do. We're going to have a more solid proposal, I think, than what we've got now. There's some things in the air. I want to encourage anybody who didn't get to speak, or any of you from Stonegate, if you've got neighbors in that area who did get to speak tonight and have something to say, this isn't the last opportunity to be heard. They can call the commissioner's office, email the commissioners. This is Greg Chilcock, Ray Hawk, I'm Jeff Burrows. And we've got J.R. Hyman and Doug Schomburger who could make tonight his prior engagements. But I'd encourage anybody who's got comments for or against or concerns or issues they just want to bounce off of us, stop down at the office there, call or email, and we can take around ideas you've got or concerns. There will be more opportunity for meetings. This is the last meeting on this. We'll have to have at least another commissioner meeting for a decision and possibly more to make sure we've got plenty of public. I appreciate everybody for coming outside. This
great crowd. Thank you. I didn't hear anybody mention anything about a sound wall. Is that? I just thought I'd bounce that out there. I know we're smart enough; we could probably build a sound dampening wall put up on the edges of the berms, especially facing the houses. I think that'd help a lot. Research something like that.
Anybody else have anything to say or any questions or anything that might help you?
Thank you.
These drawings will be available to look at if anybody wants to see the area. They're not terribly refined, but they do show the track that it's size, the parking.
My name is David Fuller, and I live in Hamilton. I'm for the track. They're building the track to race cars, plus to do motocross and mud bogs and bike racing for the kids on BMS bikes. They're also building it so the kids have a place to go to be safe and do what they want to do and to be watched over. I'm for the racetrack, totally. If the racetrack don't work out, you still got everything else there.
Have that.